Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
So today we're talking all about Hamilton.
Ooh!
Yeah. It was released on Disney Plus, kind of like end of the summer-ish, August sometime?
Yeah, I don't know.
It all blurred together.
2020 definitely blurs together, but it released this year.
Well, anyway, we went crazy for it. We definitely weren't the only ones, and we've been waiting for, like, a good time to talk about it.
Yeah.
And that's this week.
Definitely.
So today we're going to chat about the show, do a little analysis, and of course pick out some favorites. We really like this show. We could probably do like 3 episodes on it, but we're only going
to
do one.
Wait. So you're saying that we were waiting for a good time to do it.
Yeah.
So we had to wait for it.
Well played. Okay, before we get to that, it's so good. We always talk about a nerd thing that we're into this week. So, Brandon, I usually ask you to go first. So, guess what?
Excellent. Well, if you've been listening along the way, you know that I'm a big gamer and super into World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. And this episode's releasing on Monday, the 23rd of November, which is also going to be the release of the next World of Warcraft expansion.
Yes.
So I'm going to be playing the heck out of that this week.
For the last, like, day or two, he's actually had an hour. Like, hey, only this many hours left. Hey, only this many hours
left. It's like 24 and a half hours as we're recording this right now.
Right. Yes, because, of course, we record it prior to it being released. So, yeah.
That's how that works.
That is how that works. Yeah. So you're very excited about that. And, you know, I'll miss you because I'm not going to see you for a few days.
Bye!
Yeah, so that's good. That's fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My nerd thing is I got my very first spirit jersey.
How weird is it that I owned a spirit jersey before you?
Yeah.
And I own twice as many spirit jerseys as you now.
I don't know.
Because we traded.
Yeah, we did.
Spirit jersey buying yesterday.
So we were at a Disney store, and I know it was, we couldn't decide what to do, so we decided we should just both buy a spirit jersey. Which one did you get?
I got Mandalorian.
Yes, and it's pretty cool. It's shiny.
New Mandalorian that I didn't even know existed.
Right.
Because I've seen the green one that they've had for a long time with Baby Yoda on it.
Yeah.
But this one is like Mandalorian.
Yeah, and it says Mandalorian on the back. I love the lettering on the back.
It's very shiny, like Beskar.
Yes. And I got a Steamboat Willie one.
Aww.
And it's like that Sherpa fuzzy.
It's very fuzzy.
Yeah, it's so fluffy, and it says Mickey Mouse on the back, and I love Steamboat Willie. And hey, we've talked about it a couple times on here. So that just was a fluke.
It was pretty much the most Christy spirit jersey I've ever seen in my life.
Let's take a spirit jersey, put a bunch of Mickey Mouse on it, and then make it fluffy. That's basically Krista.
Yep.
So I was very excited about that. And then my other question is, Brandon, what are you drinking today?
Well, I'm going to be pretty boring, but...
Oh, nice.
just a cranberry neutral again. We've been there before, but it's still fall, and it's delicious.
Yeah, and it's easy to drink, basically. They're easy. I actually have a neutral, too, but I'm going mango. I don't know. It's not summertime, but I'm going mango.
Yeah, mango's fun.
Yeah. It isn't snowing right now, so, you know, in Canada, that's basically summer.
Basically summer. Shorts and t-shirts.
Yeah. I saw someone in shorts and t-shirts yesterday, and it was like plus two.
I mean, if you look hard enough in Canada,
it's true.
You can find someone in shorts and t-shirt any day of the year.
So. I have a little off but related story. I've taken students to Finland a couple times, and in Finland, it is also cold.
Yeah.
But we usually go in, we were going in October. And a student I took one time wore shorts and t-shirts, like, all winter and everything like that. And we got off the train when we got there, and the teacher who was leading the Finnish students started laughing because he said that all the students were waiting for him. He's like, you guys just wait. There will be a Canadian who gets off the train in shorts and a t-shirt. And it was snowing. And then the first kid off was the one in shorts and a t-shirt. So we couldn't figure out why they were all laughing. And I was like, way to live up to the stereotype there, kids.
Excellent.
But yes,
excellent.
Shorts and a t-shirt. So, you know, mango.
Mango.
Yeah. And then last question, a little bit of Mandalorian. Oh, man. So Fridays might be my favorite day right now.
Yeah. I mean, Fridays are always great.
That's true. But it's extra great because Mandalorian.
Oh, you get a new episode of Mandalorian.
Yes. Right. So a bit of a spoiler warning, I think. So what did you think? This was touted as being a filler episode.
Yeah. So the thing is, they name drop Ahsoka in the third episode, and
so if you haven't watched it, that's a spoiler.
That is a bit of a spoiler,
but it was all over the internet, so I don't know.
Mean, too bad. Okay,
watch Mandalorian.
Maybe we'll put in a spoiler alert. Edit that in. Sorry, but they had to manage expectations that you're not going to see her in this next episode, so like we're all like, oh well, it's a filler. And it was also directed by Carl Weathers,
yes, so who plays Greef Karga,
mm-hmm. Yes, of course. And all the entire time I'm thinking about his role in Arrested Development, of course, where he's like a washed up actor, yeah. Peddling his wares.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, anyway, so there's that. But the episode was fantastic.
It was so good.
It was not filler. We got some character development and
plot development,
like exposition, and like tying into the sequel trilogy and all this stuff. So yeah, no, this season's been really good. There's only been one bad episode so far. So
yeah, and I was really, really, really happy with this episode. I knew, well, I mean, even before they said, we knew we weren't going to see Ahsoka because we saw who was directing. First time directing a Mandalorian episode, by the way.
He handled himself quite well. Yeah. It was action-packed.
Yep.
And the action was well directed.
Yep. Yeah, I thought it was a little bit of everything everyone.
There was some cheesy action, I will say that. Yes. But I was laughing at Stormtroopers. But, I mean, that's what Stormtroopers are for.
Literally,
so,
I think that's the point. but Dave Filoni is going to be directing the next episode, so we kind of know that that's when we get to see the deep Star Wars.
Yeah, well, yeah. Dave Filoni, he's Mr. Star Wars.
Exactly.
Now. And I think he's got enough street cred with Disney that he can do whatever he likes.
Yeah,
which is great because he loves Star Wars and he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Another spoiler I will say about the episode, though.
Okay.
If you want to Google it, T-shirt and jeans man.
Oh yeah, I did. I saw that.
The little bit of a miscue. Oops. You could see a background crew member in one of the shots. Like I did not see it live. It was very small.
Yeah.
But the joke is that it's actually just a reference to Lucasfilm. There was a jeans and t-shirt man in the original Indiana Jones. So
perfect.
Yeah.
That's just a deep cut is what we're doing
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's a really deep reference. So there you go.
Let's go with that. I like it. I hadn't heard that. That's funny. Disney A News Update. So today's news item, the big news item, of course, we're primarily concerned with Disneyland and Buena Vista Street. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
That was the big one. The Downtown Disney opened into Buena Vista Street is how they made that work.
A little bit of a loophole. Like, they're having problems in California right now.
Yeah, they really are.
But Disney does it right.
Yep.
Safety precautions and yeah, we've been enjoying watching YouTube clips of our favorite YouTubers.
Definitely. I was laughing.
Getting emotional.
Yeah. I was laughing when they're like, I didn't think I'd cry. I was like, really? We knew you would cry.
Yeah. Like, I would have made that bet and made a lot of money because they were all very, very teared up. And
definitely.
You're seeing the Buena Vista Street, the Suitcase in a Dream statue. And all the cast members waving hello. And yeah.
It was, I mean, I totally would have cried being there, too. So,
yes, you would have. Yeah.
So, of course, we were excited to kind of, like, live vicariously through them.
Yeah.
Getting to, you know, eat corn dogs and a churro, a Disneyland churro in park.
A legit
churro.
Park churro,
It's the first time people have been able to step inside the park since March 13th. So, inside either park, I mean, since March 13th. So, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was that's the big, big news. There's a couple other little pieces. One was D23 did a fantastic world celebration, of course, digitally. Because it's 2020.
Oh, I thought they were going to pack some people together in a convention hall.
Yeah, exactly. So they had a series of virtual events last week. It went from Monday to Friday. And I think things are still up on YouTube, but I'm not sure how long. They didn't really announce how long they were going to be up there.
They might keep them there for a while. Or
they might. But you can
who knows?
Check
yeah,
them out. Check out D23 Fantastic World Celebration, it's called. And some events are for D23 Gold members, and some are just the free ones. And so the free ones are the ones that are obviously up on YouTube. And the, some of them would be like Star Wars Galaxy's Edge storytelling through merchandise, which look cool. They're going to talk about Marvel 6616. Sorry.
616, yeah. Yes, yeah. Yeah, they, well, that just came out on Disney Plus.
Exactly.
As well, yeah.
So there's a talk about that. A focus on Mickey and Minnie.
So do you know what Marvel 616 is?
No, I do not.
So Marvel has kind of like of a multiverse thing going on where they have different Earths. The main Earth that we exist in where they're superheroes is designated 616. So
yes.
That's where that number comes from.
That that makes sense because I did know about like the multiverse and everything obviously. So cool. Very cool. And yeah, so I'm checking out a couple of those and
awesome.
I'll check out more.
The big news that came to me this week was, I must have come out of D23 as well, but they were releasing some pictures of a finished room of the Star Wars hotel in Florida.
Yep.
And this place is going to cost you
so much money.
So much money. You might not be able to pay with money. You probably just like souls.
Firstborn.
Yeah. Maybe your
blood oaths.
Maybe your voice.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
I hear that went well.
Yeah, it's probably fine.
It's fine.
Probably
it's fine.
But yeah, this looks awesome for a Star Wars nerd like myself. And
I'm definitely singing the song in my head now about it won't cost much. Just your voice. Yes, I definitely think that we will have to stay at some point in time.
Yeah, just we'll have to pinch our pennies and get there. I don't know.
But it looks awesome. So, and totally immersive is always awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, very cool. All right, so that brings us to our main topic, which is, of course, all about Hamilton.
Disney Plus and chill.
All right, so at the top of the show, we said we were talking about Hamilton.
Just you wait. No, I can't.
That was really good.
I can't sing, sorry.
That was really good, though. So I'm going to be totally honest. This is the least organized we have ever been for an episode so far.
But we do love Hamilton.
We do love Hamilton. So we're very prepared in that we have seen Hamilton a lot.
Many.
Many, many times.
Many times. Yeah.
But there's just a whole lot we want to talk about.
Okay.
And so we're not super organized as to how we're going to talk about all of it.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is going to be fun.
Okay. Well, as the teacher, I'm going to let you lead it.
Oh, okay. Because I'm organized.
You're naturally organized.
That's true, I am.
Yes.
Just because I color code my push pins does not say.
That is a true. That's true.
It's true.
Yeah.
That is true. Okay. So before we start talking about the Hamilton story in like the play itself, the musical, off the bat, if you haven't seen it, pause this,
watch it. It's on Disney Plus,
yes, which is why we're talking about it.
Yeah, that's why we're talking about it. But it's a famous Tony Award winning Broadway musical,
exactly,
that is available for you to watch on Disney Plus,
which is crazy.
Which, yeah, so just watch it.
Yeah,
I mean,
so pause this, go watch it, then come back.
Yeah, okay,
fair.
Okay.
Plus, I mean, this is also about events that happened a long time ago. I mean, yes, fictionalized details, but I don't...
Very, very fictionalized.
Very fictionalized details. But as far as, like, there was this dude named Alexander Hamilton and, like, the main historical points...
He did exist, yeah.
Yeah, and then so a lot of the main historical points are factual, so I don't think spoilers affected.
No, anymore. I mean, come on.
Okay, so... Quick overview. Basically, you have your original cast performance and recording.
Perfect.
It was done in what year?
2016.
Yeah, 2016.
2016.
Basically.
Yes.
They came and while they had the original cast before anyone was replaced, they did this big recording and then they basically held on to it for like 4 years.
A while, yeah.
Yeah, and then released
while,
it
yeah.
this summer.
They released it in time for quarantine.
Yes.
For us to all enjoy.
Yeah, it was during quarantine.
While we
it was kind of like a nice
home.
Little thing.
Yeah.
So you said it was Tony Award winning.
It was.
It won
many, many times.
Yes, it was nominated.
Stop.
Oh, stopping.
For us uninitiated folks.
Yes.
What the heck is a Tony?
Tony is the equivalent. Okay, you've got the Grammys for like music.
Music.
And you have the Academy Awards is like the highest for movies.
The Oscars.
Yes,
yeah.
The Oscars.
Yeah.
Tonys are for like it's for theater.
You missed the Emmys.
Oh, and the Emmys for television.
That's for television.
For the small screen.
And then the Golden Globes is where they all get drunk and they all are just together.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same. So the Tonys is for theater. It's basically broken up into musical and non-musical.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the Tonys. So You threw me off here.
Yeah, I did.
No, that's okay.
Though. I apologize.
No, it's all good. Alexander Hamilton is the basis for this whole musical, if you couldn't tell from the title Hamilton.
He was a real person.
He was a real person. Mm-hmm. And Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote this play about Hamilton. Because nothing, that's all hip-hop style.
Yeah, nothing says rap music like the Founding Fathers in 1776. Yo.
Wow, we sounded really white there.
Yes, well, there's a reason for that.
So before I start talking Tonys here, apparently after, so Lin-Manuel Miranda had some success with In the Heights, which was his first, yes, like, big Tony-winning musical. And after that success, he's like, I'm going to go on vacation. Mm-hmm. And he went to, I think it was like a bookstore, a library, something like that, and he was like, I'm going to take a biography of some historical American person on vacation with me because I think that's interesting. And he happened to pick up this biography of Alexander Hamilton. And he was reading it, and he found out that when Hamilton was 14 and this hurricane came and it destroyed...
He said he was 14 when he got a trading charter.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So he said at that point or maybe he was 17 with the hurricane. Anyway, when he was 14, he wrote his first, like, well-known poem that was, like, well-known locally. And in it, he said that he wished for a war.
Yeah.
And Manuel Miranda read that and was like, that is so freaking hip hop, man.
Yo.
And so he went home and he Googled, is there hip hop and rap music about Alexander Hamilton?
No.
And he was shocked to find out there wasn't.
No, there's
and
not.
And we're like, how are you shocked about this? But anyway, so he's like, I'm going to do that.
Okay.
I'm going to create this. And so he did.
Good on you.
Yeah,
sir.
Shockingly, when he started doing this, everyone was like, "You're crazy." Because let's make a hip hop.
Because
album.
He was crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, we talked about the fine line between insanity.
Yeah, when you were talking Walt.
Walt, Lin-Manuel, George Lucas.
Yeah.
There's a consistent theme
totally.
There. Yeah, absolutely.
So he wrote this musical. He was originally going to do it just as he said it was going to be a mixtape, and he was writing the music for it, and he wanted to do like mixtape style, and then it became a full musical that like broke records all over the place. It was nominated for a record 16 nominations. In 13 different categories.
There's some doubling up there.
Yeah, it was a
by
lot.
By my math.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you're an accountant. Mm-hmm. 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 It won 11 of those categories.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty crazy.
That's a pretty good winning percentage right there.
I do have the list here.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
So the creme de la creme of what you want to win is best musical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It won that.
Yeah.
Shocking, right?
Well, I would hope so.
It won best performance by a leading actor in a musical. Leslie Odom Jr. won that for his role as Aaron Burr, who we will talk about.
Yes.
Yes.
Leading actor, that's interesting.
Yes.
I might mention that later. Yeah.
Yes. So
yeah.
There were two nominees in that category.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Best performance by a featured actor in a musical.
Uh-huh.
There were two from this one as well.
Yeah.
And one of them won, who was David Diggs for Marquis de Lafayette and Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
Who we'll also talk about.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Best performance by a featured actress in a musical.
Okay.
Renee Elise Goldsberry won for her role
Angelica.
As Angelica Schuyler.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Lin-Manuel Miranda won a whole lot of them. He won for best book of a musical, best original score written for the theater. The play also won for best costuming, best lighting design, best direction, best choreography, best orchestrations.
It's just good stuff.
And when it first was going to be on Disney Plus, we're like, well, of course we're going to watch this.
Oh, yeah.
We like musicals. I like...
So, okay. So let's take this back.
Okay.
As Disney children of the 90s, it introduced us to musicals as a concept.
Totally.
And we didn't get exposed to like Broadway because we're in the Podunks of Canada and whatnot, but we grew appreciation of these musicals. So
yeah, we hit right perfect Disney Renaissance, great musicals.
Disney time. Disney brought musicals to children.
Yeah,
and then as we as we grew up, we picked up these classical musicals like Singing in the Rain.
Yeah, great one.
And Sound of Music. Yeah.
And I mean,
and
like,
stuff
I always
like,
loved Grease was always one of my favorite movies.
Grease, exactly. Yeah. So we are perfectly primed for having good Tony Award-winning musicals.
Yes, totally.
And when one came to Disney Plus, we're like, sign us up.
Right, right. We will occasionally do, like, we'll go to Broadway Across Canada, a local, closer nearby city that we used to live in, used to do, like, a local musical theater once a year that we used to go to. So we got to see, and we both appreciate live theater.
Live theater is fantastic. Yeah. Like, we've seen Book of Mormon
live.
Yes,
that was really good. You, of course, have actually seen a Disney play on Broadway, which you remind me of all the time.
So, the joke is, I don't need to go to Broadway because I've already seen Beauty and the Beast on Broadway.
Really want to go,
which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then we did go see Broadway Across Canada
when they did Beauty and the Beast.
When they did Beauty and the
and
Beast,
I've seen like Lion King. We've actually seen a fair bit of Broadway Across Canada. We've seen a live editions of Fiddler,
the quote unquote tour version of Broadway.
Yeah, but it's only a couple hours away.
The point is, we like musicals.
Yes, exactly. So we knew we were gonna watch Hamilton when it came to Disney Plus, but I was honestly worried that I was like, there's all this fanfare around it.
Yes.
There's no way it's going to live up.
I thought it was overhyped, honestly, before we turned it on.
Me too.
I thought it was overhyped, and it could never live up to that hype.
Oh, my goodness, were we wrong.
We were so wrong.
It is so good.
We were wrong, and I've never been happier to
be
wrong.
Right, you don't like being wrong, typically.
I don't like being wrong, but this time I was happy to be wrong.
So the premise behind it is that it is about America then told by America now. That's what Miranda said he wanted to write
about. It is very applicable to America now.
So it's told entirely through song, rap, R&B, and a bit of more show tunes style things thrown in there.
So that is one thing that really struck me. It is a very, it's a huge variety.
Yep.
Like, it's famous for the hip-hop rap stuff, but there's some more traditional Broadway show tunes in it, and it all mixes perfectly together into, like, this, like, modern opera.
Well, and the choices that are made, both in the writing and the direction, are brilliant as to, like, what is going to be hip-hop, what is going to be show tunes, what is going to be, you know, like, more spoken word style. Like, it's so clever. And as a fan of writing, I am very impressed by those kind of elements.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very impressed by the allusions. I'm very impressed by the motif. Also, just the general theme of, like, the power of writing, because Hamilton's whole thing was he just uses his writing ability to keep moving forward in life.
He's writing like he's running out of time.
Yeah, he took a pencil and connected it to his brain.
Ah.
So I'm going to do, like, quick synopsis, and I kind of want you to interrupt me, and we're going to chat as we go through the synopsis.
Okay.
Okay?
I'm good at interrupting.
I know. This is why I figured this would go well.
All right.
So ready. I'm going to break. Let's talk Act 1 first. That's a good place to start. So we open with a song about Alexander Hamilton.
Oh. What's that song called?
Alexander Hamilton.
Good title.
Yeah,
good title.
Good.
Yeah.
So basically, we get some exposition.
Well, I mean, any good song has a little bit of exposition in it. Yeah.
So Hamilton has a hard early life, and through his brains, he makes his way to New York, where he meets Aaron Burr, John Lawrence, Hercules Mulligan, Marquis de Lafayette, and he joins the American Revolution. Now,
With
drinking.
That's important.
Yes. But what's very cool before we get to the drinking part.
Oh.
Yeah. Is who's our narrator?
Well, so I'm going to argue here that Aaron Burr is actually the, like, despite it being the title character being Alexander Hamilton.
I'm going to argue about that, too.
Aaron Burr is your main character.
Okay.
Period.
Aaron Burr might be the main character. Who did you say the title character was?
Well, there's one title.
Okay, no.
What's the play called?
Hamilton. I believe there are two characters named Hamilton who are pretty significant in the story.
I guess so.
And in fact, I feel like that is a significant choice if the whole premise...
That is fair.
...is what's important is who tells your story.
That was my male privilege speaking. Sorry.
Now, it might be about Alexander Hamilton, but we will get to Eliza in a couple songs.
A couple songs. So like, we start with four, yeah, five songs.
Exactly. We start with Alexander Hamilton, but it is narrated by Aaron Burr. And who is Aaron Burr?
He's the guy that shot Hamilton that he spoils in the very first song.
Yeah.
What the heck?
He's the damn fool who shot him.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Spoiler alert, at least.
I feel like that's in a lot of history books, though.
Yeah, but, like, I read those.
Well.
No.
And he was also vice president. Aaron Burr was.
He was, yes.
And can I just say how ridiculously awesome it is to get who you would assume would be the antagonist of this story, if it's actually about Alexander Hamilton, which we can argue about, being the narrator?
No, it's a fantastic narrative choice.
Oh, it's so good. The other thing that we're not going to talk about every single song, but one thing that we get in the exposition song, which is Alexander Hamilton, is some of the choices that come back later. So in this play, like I said, David Diggs won for both Lafayette and Jefferson.
Well, they have a lot of dual characters because
a large number.
They said that Hamilton's life was kind of split into two. Mm-hmm. So they had some important people in his life in the first half and some important people in his life in the second half.
Right.
They kind of connected these two in the play.
Yes.
And had people play them the two parts together.
Right.
Yeah.
So a lot of the people who are most significant to him took on dual roles.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that they do in Alexander Hamilton in the song is they have a couple lines that was like, me, I loved him, me, I died for him, all those different things.
Yes.
And they're played, the casting of the double roles is done in such a way that it works for both meanings. So
exactly,
this is why I'm like in love with this play, is because of the really clever writing for this.
It's well thought out.
So the actor who plays Marquis de Lafayette and who plays Thomas Jefferson is the same, and the actor who plays Hercules Mulligan and James Madison is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their lines is, "We fought with him," because they fought beside him during the Revolution as Mulligan and Lafayette, but then in Act 2, they fought against him, which still means fighting with him. Exactly. It is so clever, and it's just like this one little word where you're just like, whoa, that's cool.
That's just English for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
so anyway, I really
And then Philip.
Yes, who plays both. Well, Philip is Hamilton's son, his oldest son.
Yes.
Who, again, spoiler, but he dies in Act 2. And John Lawrence.
Yes.
Who was his closest friend.
Same actor.
Is played by the same actor. And he dies.
He died for him.
Yep.
In that
song.
In
his ideals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he says, and I died for him. And
they both died.
They both did. Yeah. So it's really good. So anyway, there's a lot of these clever moments throughout the whole play. And Hamilton said it took him almost a year just to write that one song.
Yeah. Which is fair.
Yeah.
It's quite a heavy song.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he gets... So we're not going to talk about every song in this much detail,
no.
But just that's what we start with, and it's this insane number to start with. So he makes his way to America. He meets these guys. He joins the revolution. He does it over drinking.
Drinking is drinking is how the revolution comes.
That's basically it.
Basically,
that's the premise that I'm pulling there.
Let's have another round tonight.
So he becomes George Washington's right-hand man in an effort to get ahead and not throw away his shot.
I see what you did there.
Nice. I like it. Shot has many meanings. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. But this whole time, he wants to fight because he still thinks this is how he's going to get ahead, get a name
for
himself.
Well, he's a poor immigrant. How else are you going to get
ahead?
He's
19 at the time.
I mean, thankfully, we've come beyond that.
Yes.
Like, poor immigrants, they don't have to go to war to get ahead anymore. Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway... he longs to fight because he thinks this is how he's going to get ahead, but instead he gets ahead because of his brain, essentially.
Yeah.
Then, shortly after that, he meets the Schuyler sisters.
Ooh!
He meets...
That's how you really...
Angelica, Eliza...
And Peggy! Oh, I love Peggy.
Yeah, isn't she great?
Yeah. She's a scene stealer and a half.
She is.
That might be a speaker warning. Oh, whoops. I'm sorry, I get into Peggy a little bit too much.
We literally yell "and Peggy" when it gets to that point
in
the play. And Peggy. And, oh, yeah, so...
I threw you off there, sorry.
You did, but I was trying to think of how much I want to... Okay, so basically, Hamilton meets the Schuyler sisters, who are very interested in the events of the revolution. They say it's so exciting to be alive right now. I think after a while, you get tired of living through a major historical event.
I can speak from experience.
Yeah.
As living through a major historical event... known as 2020.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not, it's not super fun.
Yeah.
It's not amazing to be alive right now.
No, I know. They were wrong.
Like, maybe it was amazing to be alive back then. No, I don't think it was.
Every time they play this, I'm like, you're a woman and
yeah,
the time is not great.
Yeah.
But we meet the Schuyler sisters.
Yeah.
Hamilton marries Eliza, who's the second oldest, the middle daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a connection with Angelica. And in fact, real life, Hamilton and Angelica exchange letters and they remain close throughout his whole life. So there's a little bit of conjecture there that the play gets to mess around with a little bit about necessarily there was a romance between them, but there's definite
some
connection.
Dramatic license with that, just like everything else.
Totally. So he marries Eliza, and the basic premise that we're starting there is there's a big contrast between Aaron Burr and Hamilton.
Yes.
Burr is much more cautious. And calculated.
Which there's nothing wrong with.
Well, he sings a song called Wait For It.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
every time I'm like, maybe this dude was just ahead of the time in politics.
Yeah, he's a true to the bone politician.
Before that was a thing.
Like they go on to how he invented campaigning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like that's something that
honestly
we just take for
draining
that we take for granted now.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have these horrible attack ads on TV and stuff like that. They didn't do that back then.
No,
they like the second runner up to the presidency was the vice president.
Right.
And could you imagine that now?
Oh my goodness.
Let's pretend like that would be terrible right now. But.
Can you imagine?
Could you imagine?
That would be very different.
Oh.
So that's basically the premise behind it is because you have Aaron Burr as narrator who's very cautious and he says he wants to wait to see which way the wind blows.
Right.
Is one of the lines. Things like that.
Where,
and he keeps saying he wants to wait for it.
Right.
Whereas Hamilton is like, this is what I want to do.
He's a go-getter type of personality.
And because of that, he has a swift rise in like
he's got
success.
He's got much success and also some temper and he doesn't think things through maybe all the way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So very, very much contrast there. The revolution goes on after Hamilton helps John Lawrence in a duel against Charles Lee. He is then suspended. Washington suspends him and sends him home where he finds out Eliza is pregnant. Later, and that's with Philip, who we talked about.
Philip.
Yep. And later, Lafayette convinces George Washington to bring Hamilton back for the Battle of Yorktown, and he does that in the song Guns and Ships. Which
is super impressive. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, okay.
And very fast. After the victory at Yorktown, and then after Hamilton's son Philip is born, Angelica moves with her husband to London. Hamilton finds out his close friend John Lawrence is killed in a seemingly pointless battle, and in response to that, he throws himself into his work even more, and then he's named the Secretary of the Treasury.
Ah.
And that brings us to the close of Act 1.
Treasury or State?
Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
We have a couple secondary characters established as being extremely close to Hamilton, and the play, plays with it a bit. In one sense and not the other. So there's been conjecture through his letters and things like that that Hamilton had a close connection with Angelica, his sister-in-law, and a close connection with John Lawrence.
Yeah.
But the problem is we're reading that through, well, now 2020, but it was at the time when the play first came out, 2016 lenses, where you're like, it's removed from context. So no one really knows. We do know that John Lawrence was his first close friend. And I mean, he was Hamilton grew up an orphan and everything like that. So he formed this very close connection with John Lawrence. And after his death, it was quite devastating to him. And the play does show that after that, he just throws himself into his work.
Right. Which is, I mean, that's a common thing in people's lives.
Sense.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that brings us to the intermission.
Oh, finally.
Well, I know, because we both are of the opinion that after the Battle of Yorktown, it feels like there should be an intermission there.
Yeah, they're like, if you've watched Broadway plays and that song ends, it feels like an intermission. Mm-hmm. And then they have a couple more songs after that. It's kind of like this limbo period, but that's fine.
And I get that they were trying to divide it more in terms of Hamilton's life. His life was like a pause.
Yeah.
I get that. But you have this big climactic moment with Battle of Yorktown. And then actually when that happens, they're all like standing on chairs and they're all like fists in the air.
They're pumping their chests.
Yeah,
and
we won,
Hercules,
we won.
Yeah.
And then it stopped and the crescendo of the music, and it all just stops. And the first time we watched it, I looked at Brandon and I said, well, there's the intermission. Oh, no, wait, no.
No, yeah, I really had to pee and I was really excited. And then, oh.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but now we actually have the intermission.
Right. Yes.
After nonstop. Okay. And it's another good moment.
Mm-hmm.
We get that we have a little pause here where we're moving into the second half of Hamilton's
life. It's a time jump, which is a natural intermission spot as well.
So Act Two opens where we get Thomas Jefferson coming home.
He's coming home. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he wants to know what he missed.
He missed a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah, he basically missed the late 80s.
Yeah. I mean, this is historically inaccurate as well, because Thomas Jefferson was involved in more than the play lets on.
Yeah, I mean, he was the ambassador to France, and he comes back from that, and he is made Secretary of State. He starts out with cabinet battle number one, arguing immediately with Hamilton about the financial proposals. Then we have, at the same time, Eliza and her family, including Angelica, who's visiting from London, travel upstate for the summer, but Hamilton is very focused on his career to go with them. So instead, he decides to stay back because he's dealing with his financial situation, and now he's got Jefferson to contend with as well.
Workaholism is bad.
Especially because he meets Miss Mariah Reynolds.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he meets her, he begins an affair with her, and then her husband blackmails him. Yep. So basically it's like, you're going to give me money or I'm going to tell your wife that you're sleeping with my wife. Yes. So that's kind of left there. And basically every time I watch it, I'm like, dude, go upstate with your wife. Oh, no, wait, you're not going to do it again.
No. Yeah.
Make better choices.
Yeah.
So anyway, Hamilton, Jefferson.
It's just workaholism is bad.
It's true. Look what it led to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So Hamilton, Jefferson, and Madison reach a compromise regarding his financial plan regarding state debts in exchange for the location of the capital.
Oh, is that the room where it happens?
That is the room where it happens.
Oh.
And Burr is now envious of Hamilton's sway and power in the room where it happens, which is an awesome song.
Right, yeah.
And in Act One, you have him doing Wait For It, and now he's got the room where it happens. So you have kind of this conflict.
See, the problem is if you wait for it, then things just happen without you. Whoops.
Which Hamilton says in the room where it happens. He says, you get nothing if you wait for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a great callback.
It
is what they would call that.
All the callbacks throughout this play are insane.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now Burr has shifted, being like, okay. Hamilton convinces Washington to remain neutral in the France versus British conflict. In response, Jefferson, Madison, and Burr join forces to try and find a way to discredit Hamilton. Washington then resigns. John Adams is the new president.
Ooh, the John Adams administration. Good luck.
Jefferson, Madison. Okay, so that doesn't start well for Hamilton. Jefferson, Madison, and Burr confront Hamilton because they believe about James Reynolds' blackmail, thinking he was embezzling. He says he believes he was doing some speculation. Hamilton confesses instead to his affair and decides to make it public. Yeah.
Well, that, could you imagine nowadays someone writing an essay about how they had an affair?
A torrid affair.
Like, we had a president impeached over an affair.
Not that long ago.
We've had a president get elected amid some accusations and some...
Many accusations.
Yes. And like... Solid proof on tape of...
Sexual assault and harassment.
Yeah, that.
Yep.
I was trying to be generous, but...
That was true, being generous.
There's no generosity
there.
Yeah,
that's as generous as I got. So anyway. Can you imagine?
Like,
Hamilton decides, though.
He's like, woo! I'm going to tell everybody about how I did this lady.
I don't think he said it quite like that.
Oh.
But basically his idea was, He was worried that other people, that it was going to come out.
Yeah,
and he's like, I'm going to get ahead of this and do it.
He's going to get ahead of it. He's trying to be his own PR manager.
Yeah, it doesn't go well, though.
No.
Because apparently, historically, he writes this pamphlet and, this basically confession about this affair. And he showed it to his friends. And they're like, this is crazy. He says, I think I should publish this. And they're like, don't do that. Everyone will, this won't win you any favors. Right now, it's just their word about speculation, which is, whatever. Yeah. So anyway, he does it. It basically really wrecks his marriage.
And his political career. Yeah.
It basically damages it. And Eliza then tries to erase herself from history in the song called Burn, which is very cleverly written.
Aw, Burn.
Yeah, exactly. But so she wants to erase herself. She says she's going to erase herself from the narrative. And so in a play that's all about, who tells your story, and Hamilton's very concerned with his legacy, it's pretty big deal that she wants to erase herself from the narrative, is what she says.
Mm-hmm.
So time passes, and Philip, Hamilton's oldest son, is now graduating from college. He decides to defend his father in a duel with George Ecker.
Pew, pew, pew.
You're making Star Wars pewing sounds.
Oh, that's not what he does?
No, they don't have those guns. Yeah. No, this is blasters.
Maybe he would do better.
If he was against a stormtrooper.
Yeah, if he was against a stormtrooper, he would have been fine.
Because he dies.
Yeah, he dies. Yeah.
He's fatally shot. His death eventually helps heal the rift between Eliza and Hamilton, because they're kind of in mourning together.
Well, they don't talk about how Hamilton told him to shoot in the sky.
Yeah. And what's tough about that one is Hamilton was his premise behind that is your mother cannot handle a heartbreak.
Yeah.
With this idea that then he will also end the duel, and you don't want to have to live with another man's life on your conscience.
There was a lot of assumptions there.
So anyway, his assumptions do not really come true.
Mm.
It does end up healing the rift between Eliza and Hamilton, which, just because they're basically... he says they're living through the unimaginable.
Yeah,
that together.
It's quiet uptown, and everybody cries.
Oh, yeah. And including Madison.
They're happy again.
Well, I don't know about happy, but they're healing.
They're healing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So after that, they want to get back to politics.
Yeah.
Please.
I mean, I'm a hard fella, but
it makes me
sniffle every time.
Oh, man, I cannot get through. I'm talking ugly bawling kind of thing, of course.
Well, yes.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. So Hamilton then endorses Jefferson in the election of 1800 against Aaron Burr. So Burr is doing quite well, and it's actually a tie where it's up to the delegates, and Hamilton has the deciding vote. Now, this is a big deal because he and Jefferson are always butting heads. They've been basically enemies their entire political career, and Burr's been kind of his sort of friend, but they also don't see eye to eye on things. So when Hamilton endorses Jefferson, he says basically Burr is going to say whatever it takes to get him elected. He doesn't have ideals or beliefs, whereas Jefferson does, even if I don't agree with them. So this makes Burr seriously ticked off.
Hmm.
And in a series of letters, Burr challenges Hamilton to a duel. So they go to New Jersey to duel because...
Everything's legal in Jersey.
And Burr shoots Hamilton between the ribs. Hamilton reflects as... So they kind of do this slow motion bullet moving, and Hamilton reflects on his life. And then he decides he's going to throw away his shot.
I like to feel like it's his life flashing before his eyes kind of thing. Yeah.
Where he's deciding what to do. And throughout this whole thing, it's he doesn't want to throw away his shot because of his legacy. But then he ends up aiming his pistol to the sky
He throws away his shot.
Hamilton dies.
Mm-hmm. He's dead.
The play then closes as the cast reflects on history and memory, and it has this refrain again of who lives, who dies, who tells your story, this question of legacy, where we get the power of Eliza coming through, because Eliza is the one who tells his story.
Right.
And the story of others.
And this is where your argument of who the title character of Hamilton actually is.
It may be Eliza Hamilton. There's a reason that it wasn't called Alexander Hamilton, even though the title song is Alexander Hamilton.
Mm.
It is just called Hamilton, because as important as Alexander Hamilton's life is, no one would have cared one little iota if Eliza Hamilton hadn't come along to tell his story.
Exactly.
And that's the refrain that gets said again and again and again. Washington says it when he says... who lives, who dies, who tells your story. And then that's the chorus that's repeated at the end. And they all literally say, Eliza, she comes forward and talks about how the legacy, which was so freaking important to Alexander Hamilton this whole time.
It really was.
Only exists because she maintained that legacy. She wrote herself back in the narrative. She told the stories of people who fought with and against Hamilton, raised funds for the Washington Monument. It talks about the orphanage she established. And then to really cap all my argument here about how Eliza Hamilton is as important, if not maybe more so, because she's the one telling the story.
She's a pretty cool lady, yeah.
At the very, very end, she's the one who's alone center stage. Right? Hamilton literally is walking up with her, and then he leads her, and he pushes her forward, and he steps back.
Okay, okay. And then she does that gasp.
And then she does the gasp. I want to ask you what you think about the gasp.
Okay, well, the gasp has been interpreted in many ways. Is she realizing that she's dead?
Yep. Is it her seeing him again?
Is it her seeing him again and then realizing she's dead, or what? What do you think?
I think it is actually because she sees him first of all, and she smiles, and he leads her forward and kind of motions her, like pushes her forward a little bit, and then steps back, and she looks out and does this gasp. And I think it is her seeing the legacy that she created.
Okay. So my thoughts are she's dead, and
she's dead at this point.
She's looking down, and she's seeing 2020, and she's like, oh my god,
I almost spit out my drink.
That's what I think it is. Maybe not, I don't know.
Maybe not, like, I think she smiled a little too much for that. She's like, do you know that people in Canada don't have hockey now?
So, yeah. Anyway, that's how that ends. And I've ruined Krista.
You couldn't see he was waving his arms as he was doing the scream. It was fantastic. Okay.
Let's take it back.
Okay. I'm regaining my composure.
We'll take it back to Hamilton overall.
Okay.
Who is your favorite character of all of Hamilton?
No. We've only done a few episodes of this, but anyone who's listened, I'm pretty sure, can tell I have a really hard time picking favorites.
Yes, she has a hard time choosing really anything. Like, dinner or...
Nope, can't do it.
What movie we're going to watch.
Yeah.
Anything.
It's true. In fact, when we were getting married, we did a destination wedding, and the travel agent had met me first, and then when she met you, she was like, man, I very rarely deal with a bride who knows exactly what she wants and makes decisions so easily. And that's exactly what you did. He just started laughing. He's like, I haven't met that person.
No.
But no, I have a really hard time picking favorites or making any type of decision. So can I say Anne Peggy?
And Peggy!
Okay, not actually my favorite, though. She's fantastic, but I'm actually, so torn because there's so many fantastic characters, but I'm gonna go, King George.
Ah, dang it!
No, you are not saying that! You told me before you had a different, like, okay, so anyway, I'm gonna pick King George because his first song where he comes out, the first time we watched it, I literally cried, I was laughing so hard. And it is brilliantly done. His, like, the way he portrays his insanity, because George went nuts. He was known as the Mad King.
Mad King.
Not the one who burns everyone.
But before Game of Thrones, yes. King George was the original Mad King.
And he didn't set, like, communities on fire, as far as we know.
As far as we know. Well, as far as we know, yeah.
As far as we know. And he does that really well. I mean, I really love the way he just, like, picks someone and stares at them the whole time. He has minimal movement, especially in the first song, other than his shoulders moving. So in the cast recording, it's different than the play recording that's on Disney Plus. In the cast recording, when he's calling out his backup ones, he goes, like, everybody, kind of like that, like, which is very Broadway-y. But in the play, he does it kind of, like, very deadpan, like, everybody, which is just fantastic because he's like, I'm king, and now jump when I say.
Yeah, he's like, he's mad at everyone for missing their cue. Exactly. Basically, yeah.
But I love, like, the cold, insane eyes where he just picks someone and stares at him. The song is incredibly written because it's done as, like, almost like a breakup song.
It's like a Taylor Swift,
right?
It's like hardcore breakup song.
The other thing that I like about him is it's the first time you see more show tune-y style thing.
Yes. There's been some hardcore hip hop and rap and all that.
And also the costuming in this play, the basic premise was they were going to have traditional period piece appropriate costumes from the neck down, and their hair, or like the upper, like their heads, were going to be like, well, in this case was 2016, appropriate, like modern times.
Like
except
George. King George, yes. Like, I mean, the biggest example of this is, of course, Hercules Mulligan with his little beanie and stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
that's
he comes out
fun.
full
yeah,
rapping, right?
Yeah.
But in like the colonial garb.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. But.
King George really stands out as being separate, which helps, well, like, this is the new world, this is the old world.
It helps that he introduces it as his play.
Yes. Enjoy my play.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, okay.
This is your king.
Well, this is difficult, because that was going to be my choice.
You were not...
For favorite character.
You told me once that your favorite character was someone else.
No!
Yes, you did. You told me your favorite character.
I had this all worked out in my head.
This is what happens when we don't discuss in advance. Okay. I thought you were going to say Lafayette.
No. Okay. No.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Tell me why you think
it. I'm going to go off my script.
And Peggy.
No. Also not Aunt Peggy, but I do like Aunt Peggy.
Right.
My favorite character then would probably be George Washington.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
He carries through the whole play. Which,
he does. He's one of the ones that doesn't swap.
Which is interesting for mm-hmm. this play. Like, they have lots of swapping and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the father figure mm-hmm. for the whole play. And he's alive and also dead at the end. He has a very imposing presence
mm-hmm.
as this father figure.
Yep.
And, yeah, I really like George Washington. Yeah.
No, he did great. And he gets that moment at the end of, right, teach him how to say goodbye, which is just like goosebumps.
Mm.
Yeah.
And here comes the general.
Oh, my gosh. It's such a good song.
Yeah.
I liked it the first time I heard it, but I think the second time I watched it, I was like, this song is insane.
Every time I watch Hamilton,
yeah.
I appreciate George Washington more and more.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a sign of an excellent character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good choice. And that you have at the end, the advice that he gives Hamilton is who lives, who dies, who tells your story. At the end, that's repeated, which again shows how important that advice was to Hamilton's life. But you also get when Eliza talks about raising funds for the Washington Monument, right? If you watch it, watch Washington's face behind her. That is clever.
Yes.
That is clever directing and acting,
well,
right there.
Well, yes, because, I mean, people who have dissected it, she talks about ending slavery
mm-hmm.
and Washington shows his shame because Washington never ended slavery.
Yeah, he owned slaves.
He owned slaves.
Yeah.
He was fully in support of slaves.
Yep.
And that's just an interesting commentary from 2016 when the play was made.
Yeah, and there's a few different pieces throughout there. I mean, when it was put on Disney Plus, it was, of course, during a lot of racial tensions in the
mm-hmm,
States.
Mm-hmm.
And so that came to the foreground again, that it didn't do enough to address those things. Lin-Manuel Miranda said that he agreed. He wished he could have done more, but he was trying to stay true to the time period as well.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's a pretty delicate line to walk, and neither you nor I can say too much about that.
Well, yes.
That being said, that when one of the cool moments is Washington looks ashamed and he does this, like, nod because he has this moment of, like, looking up and, like, she tells my story. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait. Yeah,
because
exactly.
It's held directly against,
mm-hmm.
I spoke out against slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah.
And she even says, like, we could have done much more. Yeah.
Which
so,
they probably could have.
Totally. So
I mean,
it's Washington also gets that moment there. So very cool character.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting choice. Yeah, I like that. Since I went first for favorite mm-hmm. character, I'm going to ask you, favorite song?
Well, this was like impossible to pick because
right?
it's just chock-a-block full
mm-hmm.
of fantastic songs.
Yeah.
Like more than almost any musical.
It's true.
That I've listened to, you just got hit after hit after hit after
yep.
hit.
And even the ones that you might not love, you're just like, this is such an amazing song.
Yeah, well,
it's so
like,
well written.
As a hip-hop opera,
mm-hmm.
they're all integral to
right.
the story.
Exactly.
So it is tough to choose.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, my favorite character might be Lafayette.
Or Burr. I thought you might go Burr.
Nah, yeah, Burr. Burr's cool.
Yeah.
As Burr is, but no, my favorite song is going to be Guns and Ships.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's so fast and it's so fun and it hits you. And it's just, you like, you literally need to listen to a YouTube tutorial to try and sing along with it.
Yeah, it's one
I may not have done that.
I know all the words, but I can't do it as fast.
Oh, it's so good.
Or I could just slur them all together and not make any sense.
Yeah, just pretend. Just pretend.
Yeah, it's impressive. It is very impressive. Yeah, good choice.
Yeah, yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, plus, like, he's a very cool character and the way he does it.
Well, I mean, so do yourself a favor and look up the Marquis de Lafayette's
actual
Wikipedia page.
Mm-hmm.
He led a very interesting life.
Yeah, he really did. He's just, yeah, awesome.
Cool dude.
Yeah.
All right.
My favorite, so again, so many good
Yeah,
ones.
It is tough
and
to choose.
And part of the reason I actually went with King George as my favorite is because one of my favorite songs is the first one, is You'll Be Back.
Yeah, so
So I was like, I can't pick that song.
I was choosing between favorite song and favorite character, and I tried to switch them, and
I went first, and I messed you up.
You turned that on its head, so I...
Okay, no. So my favorite song is probably Satisfied.
Okay, I, like, come on, obviously.
But
that
there's
that
so many
to...
good ones. I almost went, like, My Shot, right?
Yeah.
Oh, but Satisfied is amazing, and every time I watch it, I literally get goosebumps. I'm so overwhelmed, and... It's an amazing song on its own, but if you watch it right after Helpless, which I also love, like, that's insane how...
The choreography reversed and all that
Yeah,
stuff.
Also do yourself a favor while you're on YouTube looking up how to do Guns and Ships. Watch when they put Helpless and Satisfied in split screen side by side and the choreography matches, like, basically
it's
perfect.
It's all in the choreography.
So the basic premise in Satisfied is when Angelica talks about how she was first attracted to Hamilton but then decides to make a calculating choice, kind of, you know, to get ahead and not throw away her shot, because she has it also has this idea of this is the role of like, as a woman, I'm appreciating this is the role of women at the time. She says her only job is to marry rich.
Because she's the New York City-est.
Because she's the oldest and the wittiest, and the gossip in New York City is insidious. Not that I've listened to that song a lot. And she's such a fantastic character and such a fantastic talent. That song just, like, overwhelms me every single time. I love it. It's fantastic. Love it. Yeah. So that, if I have to choose, is my favorite.
That should have been your choice.
Okay, so I was right. It's basically my choice. Okay.
You weren't right in your favorite character.
Oh, who did you think I was going to say was my favorite character?
I don't know.
Because I'm
just
right.
Not King George.
Because
that's who I wanted to say. Okay. Anyway.
You can't have the same favorite character.
No. Well, okay. I love King George. He's a great character.
Okay, so my other thing is, we talked about favorite character. We talked about favorite song. I want to talk about another random character.
Okay.
I want to talk about Death.
Oh.
Yes. Because Death is a character in this play.
She sure is.
Yes, she is.
And she's a she.
Yep.
If you're not paying attention.
Right?
Yeah.
But they have one of the ensemble is actually credited as being Death.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch, she shows up at moments either immediately preceding or during someone's death.
Well, I mean, the first time you see her fully highlighted is right after King George's big song, and he executes her, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
He orders her executed.
Yes.
And then
she reads a pamphlet about the revolution.
And she's... from then on, kind of like enabling Death. Or...
Yeah, we see her in the opening, but it's just kind of like in the background.
You
don't see her too much for that. When Alexander Hamilton's mother dies, we see her. And...
Well, she's probably metaphorical Death then too.
Yeah, but anyway, we're not focused on her.
No.
She plays the bullet a couple times. Once when it misses Alexander Hamilton's head during the song Stay Alive, and then it is the actual bullet at the end that kills him.
Mm-hmm.
We see different things, like she shakes hands with John Lawrence immediately before he dies.
He flirts with her, literally.
Yes, and then, also, again, Philip literally flirts with Death when he is on his way to go challenge to a duel.
Exactly.
He literally flirts with her.
Literally,
yes. And then dies. Mm. And so we see her again and again in this role of Death, and I just think that is such a clever character choice.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Do you have any other little moments or character shows?
I'm surprised you didn't talk about Book Guy, to be honest with you.
Well, so when we were talking about favorite characters, I was like, can I pick Book Guy? Because in the Skylar Sisters song, they're going uptown and looking for a guy at work. Mm. You have...
You can't see me.
You can't see him. He's dancing.
I'm dancing, dancing like Book Guy. Right.
So anyone who's seen this will be like, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's the same ensemble cast member who plays Philip Schuyler, the Eliza and Angelica and Peggy's father. And then the same one who does the doctor after Philip is shot. He is Book Guy, and he does this great dance with a book when they're looking for
glasses.
A mind at work.
He's wearing glasses.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. So I really like Book Guy. And you really like, minus speaking of an ensemble character,
Sassy Letter Lady.
During
she's an ensemble character as well. You can see her in the background a lot.
But my favorite part, including her, which is also your favorite part, including her, is during when Burr is challenging Hamilton to a duel.
A dot Burr.
Yes.
Your humble servant.
Yes, which is what that's called.
Your obedient servant. Yes. Yeah.
It's when Hamilton says he's going to have, here's 30 years of disagreements.
And she's got two letters.
And ha ha ha.
Yes.
And she does it like a little ballet thing.
She's
very going to present the
very sassy.
Super sassy. I also enjoy, I enjoy a book guy, but in part of that same song of Skylar Sisters, when Burr meets Angelica, and she says, Burr, you disgust me. You've disgust me. And then I'm a trust fund baby.
Some alternative facts going on there. Yes, you've disgust me. Yeah, okay.
But again, I like the writing.
It's fantastic writing, fantastic play. Go watch it. If you didn't listen to our instructions at the beginning,
go watch it now. In fact, if you paused and you went and watched it and then you came back and listened, you probably want to go watch it again.
You probably just watch it again. When in doubt,
watch Hamilton.
It gets better every time.
100%. And then listen to the cast recording.
Yeah.
Yeah. So really good. We could talk a lot more about a lot of the different details here.
Probably shouldn't.
But we probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. That brings us to the close of our main segment and moving on to trivia.
Oh, okay. So this is where I get to make fun of you for last week's trivia.
Right.
Okay. Last week, I asked you three questions.
Mm-hmm.
And the first question was, what popular junk food was invented in Disneyland?
Mm-hmm.
And you said...
It was Doritos. Tortilla chips.
You weren't very confident, but you were correct.
Yay!
It was Doritos.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, so they had the Mexican restaurant in...
Well, it's now Frontierland.
It's Frontierland. Mm-hmm. It was, yeah. They had this whole tortillas. They had tortillas, and then they would go bad, and they didn't know how to use... They were going to throw them away. They had stale tortillas. They turned them into Doritos.
Yeah.
And that's how we have tasty Doritos to this day.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah.
The Doritos were invented in Disneyland.
Yeah, by stale food. Doritos are just stale food.
Yeah,
but
100%.
I mean, they're tasty, so whatever. Okay, so question two.
Uh-huh.
What is one food, quote-unquote, item that you cannot buy in Disneyland?
I was so confused.
But you guessed.
What on earth? I have no idea. I don't know.
Oh, you didn't guess anything. But the correct answer is chewing gum.
Yeah, I was gonna get that right.
I said quote unquote. It's not you don't technically eat it. I wouldn't want to swallow it because then it would stick in your stomach for 7 years.
Yeah,
that's an urban myth as well.
Yeah, well, still.
Yes, still. Yeah, you can't buy that because they didn't want people spitting it on the ground and making a mess.
Right.
You can obviously bring it in yourself.
The poor cast members had enough of a mess to clean up.
Yeah, they didn't want anybody buying it on property.
So you
were wrong there.
Right,
sorry.
Right.
The final question, I gave you a multiple choice.
Yes.
Answer.
Also not confident about that.
No. How many churros are sold in Disneyland each year in a non-pandemic, normal-type year?
Right.
And you said...
You know what? I'm going top of the tier. I'm going 8.5 million. And...
Sorry. That's way too many. No. I mean, I could probably eat that many churros if I was everybody on property.
Right? But not everybody likes churros because they're wrong.
Yeah, they're wrong. No. So the correct answer is 2.8 million. This is according to Anaheim tourism website.
Right.
So, I mean, it might be a little higher now. I don't know.
Yeah. But according to that.
But according to that, I was still wrong. It's 2.8 million. So,
yeah. So I was very wrong.
That's the correct answer.
Well, you know what? It's my turn now.
Uh-oh.
At 1 for 3 with those hard questions is not bad.
Those were fair questions.
One of them was good. All right, so I had to rack my brain because I like keeping my questions on theme, as I think you do too, when possible.
Yeah.
And you know lots about Hamilton.
Wow.
Well, you know lots about history.
Yeah.
And even though it's American history, not Canadian history, you also have a really good memory. So I couldn't really ask you much about that.
Uh-oh.
So instead, I decided to ask you more about the musical in general.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So I have 3 questions for you. Uh-oh. Which seems to be our normal lately.
Yeah, okay.
Question number 1 is going to be probably the easiest one.
That means I'm going to get it wrong.
So Lin-Manuel Miranda in the original cast plays Alexander Hamilton.
He does, yeah.
Maybe, arguably, the title character.
Arguably.
He was really torn, though, because he also wanted to play a different character. Who was he also considering playing?
Aaron Burr?
Okay.
I don't know.
He's
the other main character. Mm-hmm. If I'm writing myself a musical, I'm going to be the main character. Maybe George Washington also, but right. I don't know.
Okay. All right. So, question number 1, your answer is Aaron Burr.
Sure.
So.
I punched the Burr, sir.
It's a blur, sir.
Sir.
So, question.
We have watched that musical way too much.
Not near enough. You pronounced not near enough incorrectly. Okay, question number 2. How long did it take Lin-Manuel Miranda to write My Shot?
Just that song. 18 months. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, last question.
That's a random question, but okay.
I had heard that a few times before, so I was like, oh, that's a good question to ask Brandon. Okay, question number 3. I don't know if you're going to know this one or not.
No, I'm not.
But we just watched it, so maybe you will.
Okay, dude.
Okay. There are some points in the middle of songs where there are speaking parts. However, there is only one speaking scene that isn't like rapped or anything sung or anything like that. One spoken scene in the whole play. Not like a spoken line in the middle of a song, but one spoken scene. What is that scene?
When Philip dies? They're kind of speaking then, I guess. I don't know. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, only one spoken scene.
Okay.
All right, yeah. You don't sound very confident.
No, I'm not.
If you think you know the answers, though, feel free to contact us on social media or through our website and tell us what you think those answers are.
Yeah. Because... I don't know.
You might know. Okey or did. Rather, maybe the listeners will know.
Yeah.
That might be a little
bit. Yeah, that's probably.
I mean, not to spoil anything, but you know.
Yeah.
Maybe the listeners know. So that's our show for today. Thanks to El Mule, who's responsible for our awesome custom theme song that you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website at disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. You can also find us on social media. Instagram at DisneyA.podcast, on Facebook at DisneyA, and Twitter at DisneyAPodcast.
Why don't we have all the same things?
Because they were taken.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, there's lots of people who say, hey, I'm going to call my page DisneyA, and then they post one thing, and then not again for 3 years, but they still claim the stupid name.
Get out of here, exactly. People who take DisneyA, because we're DisneyA.
Exactly. So we would love to hear from you. For example, your guesses to our trivia.
Yeah. Terrible trivia.
You just say that when I ask.
Yeah.
You can also find Disney A episodes on your favorite streaming platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, all of them.
Many podcasts.
Please review our podcast and subscribe. And if you know someone who might like this podcast, be sure to recommend Disney A to them. We're trying to expand our reach, and that would help us out a lot. Join us every Monday, including next week.
All the Mondays.
Yeah.
We're going to be there every Monday.
Exactly. We actually
We're going to talk about Mandalorian.
Yeah, news.
And then we're gonna talk about WandaVision in January.
But before that, we have some seasonal stuff coming up for December. Yeah, Christmas theme stuff.
Yeah.
So join us and hear what we're gonna talk about. I'm actually pretty excited for the next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
So until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney AF.